You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. The Grassifieds got together in early 2006 in Walkertown, North Carolina, after mandolinist Jim Grubbs took several weeks of recovery time after a tonsillectomy to begin to master the instrument. 4 weeks later, Jim and brothers Greg and Joel Barnett, along with a few other musicians, started a weekly picking party. After years of playing together, they are excited to share their debut record, What We Are. Jim is my guest on this edition of Americana Music Profiles. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the podcast today.
Hello there.
Glad to have you on. Thanks for taking the time out of your schedule to talk to us a few minutes about your music.
Well, I'm happy to do it. Thanks for the invite.
Sure.
I appreciate you.
Yeah. So the band is Grassified. Is it Grassified or the Grassifieds?
It's the Grassifieds.
Okay.
It's sort of plays on the concept of the classified.
Gotcha. Sure. Okay.
At the time we formed it, my 8-year-old son had been listening to a lot of Huey Lewis in the news, and so he sort of played off of that. In addition to the fact that many of our members at the time when we founded it had come to bluegrass from other genres of music.
Cool.
So you know they had been quote unquote grassified.
Yeah.
So when you take those two ideas together in an 8-year-old mind, that's what you get.
Yeah, well, good. It's always fun to hear the origins of some of these names that you're not sure you can figure it out by yourself. So that's cool. I like that. So you guys, the band formed in 06, but you have an interesting story coming to the mandolin. But prior to that, you were a flat picking guitarist, correct?
That's right.
All right.
Started probably about when I was 10 years old. My dad played, and I've got a treasure of a picture of him from 1946 holding a guitar when he was just a young man. He was 19 years old.
That's cool.
And so he played it all my life, and all of his life. He just passed last summer, actually, at 92.
Wow.
And played the last couple of years of his life. But so I was always around it. And when I was really small, he and my brother would pick guitars and my dad would sing, and they would put me on spoons. Now, there's no way I could even try to play them today, but I did the best I could at a really young age.
Mm-hmm.
I did learn some rhythm from that. And then as my older brother moved out on his own, then I sort of inherited a guitar, and my dad taught me Wildwood Flower, and he taught me the other one was the Steel Guitar Rag.
I'll
never forget those two songs.
Hmm.
And from that point on, I just kind of took over and learned all I could learn for the next 20, 30 years, I guess.
As a guitarist, were you also playing in bands?
Occasionally.
Yeah,
occasionally, but it was mostly, you know, country or rock music, really, because at that age, that's what I was into. And my parents were we lived on a farm, we were very country folk, but they were very tolerant of my interests, and I didn't get it too loud to, you know, to really annoy them. But bands like the Eagles.
They
were my entry into sort of southern rock and country, and where they blended. But I really enjoyed. I noticed songs by groups like Don and Rio and Restless Heart, and one of the things that stood out in their music was the use of the mandolin. I loved the sound. It was like, I thought of it as the tenor to the guitar sound. And so I loved it. But, you know, never laid hands on one until many years later when I was about 41 years old. I needed a tonsillectomy. I needed it for 25 years before I got it, but I put it off and put it off. And,
yeah.
And I knew I was going to be out of work for a while as I healed. Complexities are for kids, not for grown-ups.
Right, right.
And so I went and bought a mandolin. And as the pain medication would wear off in the middle of the night and I'd still have another couple hours to go before I could safely take another dose, I'd sit up and play the mandolin. And that instrument, I call it my surgical instrument for that reason.
That's cool.
It got me through it.
Yeah.
And about a month later, that was in February of 06, and about a month later, I invited several friends from church over who, you know, we sang together at church already, but they were on various instruments from their own past.
Uh-huh.
And I invited them over, and we sort of had a little bit of a picking party, and we had so much fun. The very first song we played was Dooley.
Okay.
You know, we here in the Carolinas, people will
sure.
understand where that came from.
Right, right,
seeing
yeah.
them,
yeah.
You know, Dillard's on Andy Griffith.
Yeah.
So from that point, we just made it a regular thing. We just couldn't put it down. And 6 months later, we opened for the Embers in a Mountains to Sea concert in North Wilkesboro for about 400 people.
Oh, cool.
And so we've been at it hard ever since. We've played all over the Southeast ever since.
So having the sort of Southern rock, classic rock kind of folk rock background, was that getting those guys together, was that a conscious decision that we're gonna do bluegrass, not the Eagles? Is that what brought you to the bluegrass
yeah.
choice?
Well, actually, yes, that was a big part of it. You know, when I took up the mandolin, one of our co-founders, Joel Barnett, he played banjo, and so that took us a little bit away from everything but the very earliest of the, say, the Eagles music, for example.
Right.
And so we just went with that in that direction. And his brother, Greg Barnett, played guitar. And they are direct descendants of the Church Brothers,
who were
a pioneering bluegrass band
sure.
in our area. Actually really well known. Well, those are their uncles. They're on their mother's side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so they brought to the party, you know, a knowledge of a number of Church Brothers' original songs, some of which have been picked up by really big names, like
mm-hmm.
A Sweeter Love Than Yours I'll Never Know, which is on our CD. That one was done by the Johnson Mountain Boys
yeah.
on their Let the Whole World Talk album.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Church, one of the Church Brothers, he wrote Angel with Blue Eyes, which was just released here a few years ago by the Gibson Brothers
yeah.
on their Brothers duet CD. And so we, you know, they had all of that history growing up. Every Christmas, they have a huge family get together, and the Church Brothers would come and play music, and that continued even after we started. We were able to actually perform some of the Church Brothers songs for the Church Brothers.
Oh, cool.
It was a thrill.
Yeah.
That was a thrill. So that's how we sort of achieved the focus that steered us more, you know, directly to traditional bluegrass. And we really enjoyed the traditional sound.
Mm-hmm.
And about that time, we really got hooked on the Johnson Mountain Boys.
Yeah.
And we just loved their style. We loved everything about them. How they played, how they kept the pedal down to the floor
mm-hmm.
throughout their shows.
Yeah.
Just so much energy.
Yeah.
And so we, not that we can ever copy that. I mean, they're phenomenal musicians, phenomenal singers too, but
yeah.
we instead, though admired them so much that we tend to choose a lot of the standards that they chose, for example.
Yeah.
The old standards that they played that stuck to their traditional style.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even on our modern ones that we write, maybe some of the lyrics are a little bit more contemporary, but not so much. We still want to express the same values that the traditional music would hold, because those are our values.
Yeah, I enjoy Dudley in the Seldom Seen there. Just fun to see him be able to continue to to play.
Yeah.
So you mentioned songwriting, and when did you start writing songs? When did that become a thing for you?
Well, for me personally, it started while I was still in high school. You know, when most of us, at the time, teenagers go through their periods of angst, you need a way of expressing it.
Right.
I wasn't a rebellious soul at the time, so my way of expressing myself was through songs that I wrote, and some of them were total garbage, but, you know, as a teenager, it was what I felt, some weren't so bad, and so I started writing then, and actually performed a few of them live at my high school back then.
Yeah.
But really, when we kicked it in was after we I met Joel Barnett in 1996, and we became really good friends, best of friends, and he is a very talented individual. I'm going to give you a little history there. He performed in a rock band that toured and actually made a living at it for a time. And when he was younger, and then about 95 or 96, somewhere in that time period, he chose to sort of leave that lifestyle behind, got married, settled down, you know, everything that you normally would associate with that, cut his hair, you know, those kinds of things. And we became, you know, terrific friends. And he has a studio where he recorded his band efforts at the time, so we've taken advantage of that from time to time. But I handed him a folder one day, probably in the late 90s, I guess, handed him a folder of a bunch of lyrics that I'd written that I'd never put tunes to. And I said, you know, just see what you can do with these. It was 2 inches thick. Just song after song after song. So he sifted through like any good musical mind would, and sort of culled those that had no hope whatsoever. And he could hand me back demos where he played all the instruments and sang all the parts.
Really? That's awesome.
And with no input from me on what the tune should be like, I just sort of gave him the mood and gave him the lyric. And when he would play it back for me, it sounded like I had written it. It gave me every feeling that I was trying to voice.
That's cool.
You can't beat that.
So
it's a great connection. So, you know, that was awesome. They weren't all bluegrass songs, but those were a lot of fun to work with him on. So when we got together as a band, firstly, you know, part of paying your dues is to learn all the old standards that everybody knows.
Right.
And as you develop your ability on the instrument. But then we started thinking about, you know, performing live in front of people. Well, not long before, my family had bought their first pop-up camper. And we took it on a trip. Its maiden voyage to a little campground that will remain unnamed. We didn't know anything about it. It was over in Maggie Valley, North Carolina, and we got there after dark, and so we didn't know what we were in for. We just parked, you know, and went to bed. But we chose it because it had a trout stream running through the middle of it. I love the trout fish. So the sun's coming up the next morning. I'm knee deep in the trout stream. I'm fishing my heart out. And I look around, and we are in the roughest campground that you could imagine. I won't even go into the description, but my first thought was, man, I have awakened in an episode of the Dukes of Hazzard. And I have not seen Daisy yet. And immediately, I pulled out a pad and a pencil, walked over to the bank, and wrote, in its entirety, wrote what I am. And the in the chorus, if you listen to the song, are, you know, like Dukes with No Daisy.
Yeah.
Without you, that's exactly what I am.
Yeah, so, that's cool.
So that's how that one came. And that was my first bluegrass song.
I had okay.
country and gospel and rock before that. But that was my, and it was so much fun. We got together just a couple weeks later in sand and fleshed it out. And of course, had to change some words and some timing and things like that. And Joel worked his magic on the melody. And in about an hour session, we had that fleshed out. And it's been one of our most requested songs ever since.
That's cool. So the new record is What We Are, and that's got the What I Am track on there. Is have there been other records before this? This is not the first,
no,
right? No,
no, this is the first.
Okay,
and it's kind of funny. We, you know, bluegrass music sort of is intended to be enjoyed live.
Sure.
It just lends itself to that so much, and we just didn't focus on recording. We played 20 to 25, 30 shows a year, year after year after year, and we just never took the time. All of us had families. All of us, you know, had day jobs until I retired. And so we just didn't put one out. And every show, our fans would say, "Where's your CD? We want to buy a CD." And we'd say, "Yeah, we're sort of working on it." And we were deciding what to put on it, but we didn't make it past that. And then 2020 hit.
Yeah.
And we've had one show all year. That's
wow. Mm.
And so I felt like this was to find a bright spot in all of that.
Yeah.
We needed to do something. So we hit it really hard, and we looked at what we've been performing for all those years, and we said, okay, here's a cross-section of our most popular originals. There are four originals on this project, and then we looked at a cross section of different styles that we performed of our covers, and that's how we made the selections to go on there. And we, you know, we just sort of did it sort of as an introduction to the band. Here's what we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, in the middle of all of that, a couple of years ago, I think I read where you guys actually got to play Merlefest a couple of times. Is that correct?
We did.
Yeah.
We did. 2014 and 15. It's been a little bit now. But yes, we did. As part of their outreach program, we went out and played three or four shows each of those 2 years at different locations representing them. They have a great outreach program.
Yeah.
And it was really... It was really very cool to do that and then come back, you know, on campus and be treated like any other artist there.
I mean, uh-huh.
We were there when Alan Jackson performed.
Yeah.
We were there when Ralph Stanley performed and so on. So we came back and got to go backstage and meet some of our heroes at the time. That was an excellent experience. And we're in talks hoping to repeat that over the next couple of years.
Okay.
And actually perform again there, hopefully get a stage this time if things work out.
Yeah.
And of course we're talking to other festivals too.
Sure,
the
yeah.
same intent.
Yeah.
Trying to go ahead and get 2021 with some optimism, get it full.
Right. Yeah. I wanted to ask what you anticipate giving things change in the right direction, what 21 looks like for you guys as a band, especially being retired. I guess that changes things a little.
It did. I retired a little bit young, but I'd been positioning myself for that for the whole 30-year career that
uh-huh.
I had. I'm a mechanical engineer by training, and I've worked a pretty demanding job for 30 years, and we just didn't send a lot, so we just put it away and did what we could to be ready for me
yeah.
to walk away from it. And since I retired, Pete Wright, our bass player, has also retired. And so, you know, as we have a little bit more time available, to, at least to us, we're looking at maybe getting out there more. Our first show for the new year is in January, but it's a live radio broadcast from WPAQ's Merry-Go-Round.
Okay.
That's hosted at the Earl Theater in downtown Mount Airy. And that's a pretty historic stage. I'm looking back through the history, it's been, that stage has held the likes of Platt and Scruggs and Bill Monroe and people that we couldn't carry their cases for them. But we're just honored to do that and to be heard by those who'll be listening online and over the air.
Yeah.
In addition to, being in a great old downtown historic theater with a live audience, we hope, in January.
Mm-hmm.
By the time they space everybody out.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. So the band is the Grassified. Your debut CD is What We Are. Been out for a couple months. People want to get a copy of that or listen to some of the original cuts that are on there and find out where you're going to be. What's the best way to do that?
The best way is through our website, which is really easy to remember if you know our band name. It's thegrassifieds.com. Just don't leave out the B and don't leave out the F. It's thegrassifieds.com.
Yep. Okay.
We're also, the CD is available just about anywhere you could download music. It's on iTunes, it's on Apple Music, it's on Spotify, Google Play, Amazon Music, you name it. It's in all of those places. And you mentioned the originals that are on there. There are previews, by the way, on our website for all the songs. Among the originals, I wrote the first two. I wrote What I Am, as I described it earlier. And there's a true story there called My Dad and Trev Malone that I would like to call attention to, just simply from the fact that it's a true story that I wrote about my own dad, who at 19 years old, my oldest brother had already been born, and he's struggling to feed his family in rural Alabama and in tough times in the 40s. And he took a job at a coal mine, a private mine, an independent mine, as they called it.
Mm-hmm.
And, as a young man working with a lot of tough guys, one of his co-workers was named Shreveport Malone, or Shred Malone for short. And he had just come back from Europe, having fought in World War II, and Trev was, from all indications, maybe he suffered from shell shock or something, mm-hmm. but he was quiet and detached and feared, really, by his fellow workers because, there were all kinds of rumors about him and what he had been through. So the miners, they called a wildcat strike, and for those who know that term, it was a very violent period, and Dad didn't know what the strike meant. He just knew that if he didn't work, they would starve. So he crossed the lines and he just kept working. And after several death threats against him, this is the story of the night that he came out of the mine and found Trev Malone waiting for him alone at the mouth of the mine with a Thompson submachine gun.
Really?
So, yeah. So this is, it's sort of dear to my heart, and it's one of the few that the band got to perform for my dad before he passed. We got to go down to Alabama, and we played at his 90th birthday party and got to sing this song for him, and I'm kind of proud of that.
Yeah, That's so awesome.
Additional originals are We Are On Our Way, which is a great gospel song that Greg Barnett, our lead singer, wrote. And he wrote just a driving straight ahead bluegrass tune called When I Come Walking In, which is also on this CD.
Yeah.
And then we honor the Church Brothers by putting two of their original songs on our CD that we covered. Sweeter Love Than Yours I'll Never Know, and Beneath the North Carolina Moon. Okay. Both of those were originally done by the Church Brothers.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thank you, Jim. This has been fun, and I'm going to – I listened to a few of the songs, but I don't think I listened to the one my dad and Trev Malone, so I will go listen to that when we get done and hear the rest of the story. And wish you guys well with this, and certainly best of luck to you in 21 as well.
Well, on behalf of Greg Barnett, Joel Barnett, Amanda Hine, Jerry Martin, and Pete Wright, and of course myself, Jim Grubbs, we want to thank you very much for your interest in our music, and we hope that your fans will hear something that they like and apply the pressure to their local venues and get us booked.
Yeah, absolutely. good enough. Good. Great. Thanks, Jim.
Thank you very much.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.